Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Andy Donaghy.
This morning, we are going to be focusing on the finish line and the prize at the end. There's a certain verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 that we're going to be looking at, and I think we can have it on the screen. Verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way to get the prize. Now, who likes getting a prize? Lots of you. None of the adults are some of the adults. They do really, they just don't like to admit it. Now, I asked you all to do something at the beginning. Can any of you remember what it was?
Slow motion.
No, before slow motion. Harry? Can you remember? No? I asked you to go and grab a Bible. Did anyone grab a Bible? Have you got your Bible, Pops?
No.
What did you do? Just grab it and then let go of it again? Sorry, bad instructions. Okay. Do you know what part of the race was? Part of the race was running with your Bible. Oh, that's silly, isn't it? How many of you have seen in the Olympics, sometimes you have sad stories where people get disqualified because they don't do what they're supposed to do? Yeah. You don't have a Bible. Oh, who brought a Bible? A couple of you. Now, here's the first lesson for this morning. Shall we ask the grown-ups? You've got to be honest, okay? Who's got a Bible?
Me.
Okay? Put your hand down if your Bible's on your phone. Because you didn't remember to bring your Bible. You didn't wake up this morning and go, oh, yeah, I must bring my Bible to church. Let me grab my phone because I'm not taking my phone anyway, okay? Who intentionally remembered to bring a Bible? Yeah. A few of you. I'll give you a little tip. If you want to succeed in what God's given us to do this morning, you need to be more on the ball with your Bible. Do you know, I go to some churches and I see more biscuits than Bibles. Like, although it's funny, it's actually quite sad. Because a biscuit is not going to help you tomorrow. Like, a biscuit probably isn't even going to help you at all anyway. You just think that it's going to help you. So, has anyone got a Bible?
I want a medal.
A few of you have got a Bible.
I want a medal.
Shall we have another race?
Yeah.
Shall we see, in slow motion, who can get a Bible the quickest and come and give it to me? You can still go and ask someone for one. If you ask someone on your front row, you'd be first. Whoa! We have a winner. Now, Mikey, do you want to say what your badge says? What your medal says?
I can't read it, so it has bad handwriting.
Oh, sorry. Who did my props today?
Most obedient,
most obedient,
I think.
Most obedient. Well done. You can keep that, mate. And remember to read it, even though it is bad handwriting. Now, God spoke to me this morning during the prayer meeting, and he said to me, I don't want you to just bask in my glory. I want you to bring me glory. I don't just want you to bask in my glory. I want you to bring me glory. And do you know what? Colin was so excited, and I knew he would be, because a British guy had won a climbing competition, a gold in a climbing competition, for the first time ever, I think it was. Yeah. And did Colin do anything to help them?
No.
Like, he does do a bit of climbing and encourage climbing and that, I suppose. But so he's done more than a lot of us. But I got excited about it. I have no idea even what it was the guy was doing. But I was still excited because we won a gold medal. And last night I checked, and we'd fallen down into sixth overall, even though we had more medals than fifth. So golds are quite... I think they work it out by how many golds you've got. So I want us to get more golds. I, like, who loves it when England are doing well? Yeah. Like, who was excited that England got to the semi-finals of the football? Oh. Yeah? Did you do anything to help them?
No. How
did you help the England football team get to the finals?
I forgot.
You forgot? No. In fact, we got to the finals, didn't we? It wasn't even the semi-finals. Did anyone help the England team?
No.
No, but we all love it when they do well, don't we? Yeah. And do you know what? Sometimes it can be really nice knowing God. Like, how many of you has God helped? Can you remember a time in your life when God's helped you? Ari, yeah? Yeah? Faith, you can remember a time? And sometimes when we feel a little bit scared of stuff, God helps us. Sometimes we're struggling with something and God helps us. There's so many times when God helps us, and it's really nice to know God for those times. But God says, I don't just want you to come and be in my glory. I want you to bring me glory with your life. Amen. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, if I ever get to my notes. Now, I do feel like I've got a load of ants coming to attack me at the moment, which is, while you're less scary than the grown-ups, you are getting a little bit scary getting this close to me. So do you mind? I don't mind you sitting on the stage, but can you just sit on the edge of the stage just to give me a bit of space? Because every now and again, I do something crazy and I don't want to hurt you. Right. Now, you can qualify for the Olympics and do all of the training. Like, Colin spoke about training last week, didn't he? And we can be fully trained. We can be the best trained people ever and know that we're qualified. Pastor Clive spoke about who we are in Christ, what Jesus has done for us. And we can know what he's done for us. Be really well-trained people. But that makes absolutely no difference to running the race if we are not set focused on the prize and the finish line. And when we read these verses, it says, but only one gets the prize. Now, I've always struggled with these verses a bit, because if only one gets the prize, why on earth am I helping you? Like, wouldn't I be better off if I didn't tell you all this stuff and just kept it for myself? But I believe, well, I don't believe, I know that that's not the case. Like, God has a plan for everyone and a purpose for everyone, and he wants everyone to get the prize, okay? Are you all hearing that, guys? God has a plan and a purpose for all of you, and he has a prize waiting for all of you. The reason he says this is so that we run in such a way as to get the prize. He doesn't just say run to get the prize. It's not just okay, runners, you need to run to get the prize. First one there gets it. It's not about the prize at the moment. It's about how you run. But Paul knows if you are not focused on the prize, you won't run. You give up. You fail. Like, you guys, when you got to the end of the race, all of you were looking for the prize, weren't you? You were looking for the prize. Some of you weren't. Most of you were. Like, what's the point in running a race if you're not going to get a prize? Like, I did some racing in the week. Was it this week? Last week. We were staying at Claire's parents, and I cycled from Clacton to Frinton. Some of you might know where that is. It's about,
I know where 30 miles.
That's an exaggeration, definitely. It's probably only 3 miles. But I decided, because I was speaking on running the race, I would see what it was like to actually run a race or cycle a race. So I decided, helped by the fact that Claire told me that lunch was in 20 minutes, or I told Claire I'd be home in 20 minutes, and I'm a man of my word, I decided that I would cycle back without stopping pedalling. So I would pedal non-stop. Okay? That was fine for the first, like, minute. Then after that, it got a bit harder. I tell you what, when it got to the 21st minute and I realised that I wasn't back as well, that was really hard. And you know what? At the end, I was sweating, my legs were aching. I was actually using my mother-in-law's little shopper bike, like, which is, you know, was it the penny farthings they used to call bone rattlers? Like, this was a bone rattler. Like, I was shaking so much. Like, it was kind of good in a way because all of the sweat was just dropping off of me. It was like, even though it was pure sunshine, it was like there was a shower happening below me. And I made it back in 22 minutes, I think it was. And I like, flung open the doors, walked through, and was like, what's my time? And do you know what? Nobody could really care. I don't even know if Claire even had read the message. But I wanted my prize. I wanted those people sitting around the table eating lunch to be like, "Way! Well done, Andy! You've made it!" Thanks for sharing in my excitement. But none of them did. I think somebody just got their phone out and looked at the time and told me the time, which was a little bit disheartening. I can tell you, when I get to heaven, there will be a greater response than that. So that's okay. I can leave that to the side and forgive them, because I know in heaven there'll be a great response. Now, what is the prize? How can we do this if we don't know what the prize is? I've just got a video to show you, or two videos. There's the time at the back there. It's 11 o'clock already. I thought we were supposed to finish at 11. Obviously, none of you want to go home. Who saw what happened at the beginning? Ellie. He fell over. Did he win the race? What did he do?
He got back up.
And he just carried on, didn't he?
That's right.
And he still won the race. I absolutely love it. We've got another quick clip with him as well. He didn't win, but he still, it was a qualifying round, and he still finished as one of the fastest losers, so he still got through. And what I love about him is he is so determined to win. His determination, because he knows the prize. And we need to know the prize, because I reckon that a lot of us in this room, certainly me, sometimes we run for the wrong prize. Now, if you were to receive a medal this morning, what do you reckon would be on your medal? Like, what would you like to be on your medal? What would you like to be on your weddle? On your weddle? What would you like? These are new special medals called weddles. Would anyone like a weddle this morning?
Me.
What would you like on your weddle?
I want a dinosaur.
You want a dinosaur? Would you like, I tell you what, would you like to be known as somebody who found the world's oldest dinosaur? Yeah. Would that be cool? Yeah? Okay.
Gold.
Gold! Is that because gold's the most expensive metal? Yeah? You want gold. Anyone else?
Me.
Harry?
Doggy.
A doggy? Do you want to be the world's greatest pet trainer when you're older? Yeah,
no.
Sophie?
Butterfly.
Butterfly? Okay, any grown-ups? No? God damn me. This is hard work. I can see why I work with kids most of the time. Oh, did somebody put their hand? Maybe it's just because I can't see you with the light. Oh, Mikey, you're not really an adult. But...
Money.
Oh, who likes winning money?
Me.
Right, let me tell you a bit about myself, okay? I am not amazing at anything, okay? Ah, you don't have to give me sympathy sob story. I'm fine with it, okay? at school, you know, at school when you're all lining up to be chosen, yeah, for sports and stuff. Maybe they don't do that anymore because of what happened to me. Oh, did it break? Maybe Weddells aren't so good after all. So when everyone's lining up to be chosen at school, like, everyone gradually got picked, and who was left? Me. Do you know what? Sometimes I used to hide behind people so that I could kid myself that the reason I was picked last was because nobody could see me. I was never really the best looking. I was never really, like, the brainiest. There was nothing really in life that I was like, oh, yeah, I'm the best at that. That's what I'm going to go for. I want to do that. And to be honest, even still now, like, you know it, when you see on Facebook, like, people put, like, on Father's Day, the world's greatest dad. I'm not really the world's greatest dad. Like, my kids like me, but I wouldn't ever claim that I'm the world's greatest dad.
And if sometimes
a bit boring. Yeah, there you go. Do you want to tell everyone?
No, you.
Sophie just said I'm sometimes a bit boring. The adults don't think so. I told them that they could yawn and then I'd stop, and they're not. Do you know what? I'm not even, like, on Valentine's Day. Do you ever see all of the things like, oh, my husband is the best and everything? Like, I'm sure Claire would say that I'm pretty good, but I'm not the greatest husband. You know, I have people talk to me sometimes and they're like, oh, yeah, I can count on one hand the times my husband bought me flowers. Claire can count on one finger. It's not because she's not worth it. It's just the flowers aren't worth it. Like, but do you know what? I don't care. I don't care that I haven't got anything on my medal. You know? I've got a story to tell about a guy in the Bible. I might need you kids to help me, okay? So it's... Do you want to line up along the front of the stage here? So if you turn round and face everyone, I know they're scary, but you get over it. So we've looked at a Mo this morning already, Mo Farah, or Mo Farah. I don't really know how you pronounce his surname. I just call him Mo. We're going to look at a Mo in the Bible, OK? So, and the story of what happened to him. So we have God, OK? Face everyone. Remember, we're looking at obedience this morning, OK? Maybe we need more than 1 week on this. Here we go. And we need somebody to be Mo. So, Abby, can you be Mo? OK. Now, in this story, we've got Mo. What? Mo here, and we've got God. And Mo meets God, OK? If any of you are thinking, this is really disrespectful of what you're doing right now, shortening people's names, if you didn't pay any attention to the worship at the beginning, there was a whole song full of it, and Pastor Clive and Pastor Colin never said a single word about it, so it's okay. So, Mo meets God, okay? And God says some stuff to Mo. That wasn't even funny bit. But that's okay. I'm glad you're responding finally. Mo then says some stuff back to God. Okay? Is it hard work being Mo? Don't worry, he found it hard as well. I wouldn't have wanted to be Mo. Poppy, can you come here and be Mo? Okay? So Mo says some stuff back to God, and God says some more stuff to Mo. And Mo says some more stuff back to God. And this goes on for a while. And in the end, Mo stops saying stuff to God. And then he goes to the... Sorry, they don't make paper big enough. Oh, dear, I hope we've got enough people. Some good readers out there. Look at that. We've got one more for you in a minute. It's almost like God knew exactly how many people there would be this morning. So Mo then listens to God and says some stuff to the children of Israel. But the problem was, the children of Israel then says some stuff back to Mo, and God has said to Mo, to go and lead the children of Israel and take them to the promised land. But the children of Israel, they weren't interested in half of the stuff that Mo said, that God said to Mo. So they didn't want to do it, which is why Mo had such a hard task. And do you know what? Do you know how long it took him to get there? They were so awkward. Do you think it's hard getting your kids out to school in the morning? Like, took him 40 years to get there. Now, if you want to read more of the story, have a look in Exodus. It's a great story. I've been looking at it for probably over a year now, and I absolutely love it. But what we're going to do is I'm going to tell you a short story about me. And while we're doing that, I want you kids to come down here, and in super quick time, you're going to do the quickest drawing that you've ever done in your life, okay? I want you to draw the story of Moses out, okay? Okay, so if you go down there, there's some pens down here. And you're going to draw the quickest story of Moses that you've ever drawn in your life. If you're not sure what happened in his life, just say a quick prayer and just say, Jesus, show me something that happened in his life, okay? Right, while they're doing that, Colin might be able to get on the screen in a minute so you can see some of it. I'm going to tell you a quick story about why I'm so bad at English. So, is anyone bored yet? No? Are you sure? Okay. Right, so at school, as well as being pretty rubbish at most stuff, I was pretty rubbish at English as well. And as a result, I was put in the class with all of the other people who were pretty rubbish at English. But sadly, in my year, there weren't many people who were pretty rubbish at English. So they put in all of the people that misbehaved instead. So I was actually in a class with all of the cool kids who just spent their whole life misbehaving in school, which was just not a great environment to learn in. It was a great environment to have fun in, but when it came to learning, it was rubbish. They actually did a petition. They're really bright kids. They did a petition to get rid of our teacher because they didn't like her. And our teacher got the sack, which was pretty sad. She was a pretty rubbish teacher, but it was still quite sad. But what they did then was really clever. Like, we didn't get another teacher for quite a while. We just had supply teachers. And there was one girl in our class who, although she was only like 13 or 14, she looked like she was about 40. So every day we had English, we had a glass-fronted classroom, and she would bring a really smart jacket in. And she would put her smart jacket on and pretend that she was the teacher up at the front. So the supply teachers would come along and look in the classroom and be like, oh, they've already got a teacher, don't have to do it. So we went for probably about a year without having a teacher. And then suddenly there was, at the end of the year, the school did a speech festival and every class had to put forward a candidate who had, like, every class was supposed to have all done speeches and that. And all of these clever, cool kids who just like messing around thought it'd be really clever just to nominate me. And because everyone nominated me, like, I couldn't say no, I'd get beaten up. And I thought I could go to, like, the head teacher and sort something out, but, like, maybe I'm just supposed to do it. So I just went ahead and did it. And I hated talking in front of people, okay? I still do. But I did it, and do you know what? It was terrible, but I didn't die. And actually, it broke my fear of speaking to people. And I don't believe that I would be here today if it wasn't for that moment. And I was nominated as the best in the class. Like, as I went forward onto that stage, everyone saw me, like, wearing a medal. I was not the best speaker in that class. I was terrible at public speaking. I still am. God just somehow uses it. But there's something about that. It doesn't matter how good we are at stuff. Doesn't matter. God's not interested in that. Do you know what? Every single person in this room is a failure. Do you know why? Yeah. Romans 3:23, I think it is. For all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. None of us deserve a medal in the eyes of God. Doesn't matter how good you are. None of us deserve that medal except through Jesus, because of what Jesus has done for us. And Jesus has done exactly the same for you as he's done for me, which means that you're no better than me and I'm no better than you. So what is this race? What is this prize? What is it? Because there's something more that we need to be running for. There's something more that we need to be doing to glorify God. In Galatians 5, verse 7, Paul says, this is a really big clue as to what it is. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Ah, there's a clue there. So the thing that stopped the Galatians running their race well was somebody cutting in and stopping them from obeying the truth. So I want to suggest that that race that we're running, the prize that we're going to win, is that prize of obedience, being obedient, that race of obedience to God. Timothy 4, verse 7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Do you know what? It's not so hard for my kids to do what I ask them to do. If I ask them to come and sit up for dinner, like, they know that if they come to the table, there's going to be food there and they get something to eat. It's not so hard for us to do things that man asks us to do. Because often there's a physical thing we can see that helps us in being obedient. The reason Paul says here, I have kept the faith, is because to be obedient to God, you need faith. Because you don't often see what he's asking you to do. You don't often see the end result. Like, my kids can see what's at the table. But we can't always see what the end result is. But God knows it, and he encourages us. He says, I know the plans I have for you. If you carry on reading it, for those who seek me, those who pray, find out from God what it is about their life, what he wants us to be doing. Now, how's the drawing going? I did forget about the drawing. I thought I kept doing funny stuff because Rachel kept laughing at me, but I'm guessing you were laughing at the screen behind. Now, has anyone seen, can anyone work out what's happening on Moses' journey? A little bit. I'm going to read a bit about it to help you. This is some of the highlights of Moses' journey. From Hebrews 11, verse 24 to 27. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Now, Moses, he grew up in an Egyptian household, in Pharaoh's household. He had access to the treasures of Egypt. He had access to a nice, easy life. Do you know why he turned it down? Because by faith, he saw more in what God had for him.
Amen.
And God is calling us this morning to be like Moses, yeah, to turn down those treasures of the world. Maybe you have something that you're really longing for and you're going for that's actually getting in the way of doing what God wants you to do with your life. God wants you to lay that down. Yeah. Like, God wants us to have him is our number one priority. He may use that, don't get me wrong. Like, God brings many people to great success. We've had many great Olympians who are Christians who have won gold in that. There's nothing wrong with winning gold, but there is wrong in having that gold above God in our lives. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. He saw God. And God wants us to see him this morning. See him as priority. See him as number one. Not be looking to what we can get on our medal in life. Not be looking to what we can achieve in life in man's eyes, but be looking to how we can be obedient to him. And that may look very different. That will look very different for different people. Now, how are we doing with Moses' life?
I draw the dead body.
It's getting there.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a story about Moses, quick one that I want to finish with, that never gets told in Sunday school, that I've never heard anyone speak on before. I'm sure people probably have, but it's very rarely spoken on. After Moses did all of these amazing things in his life, does anyone know, any of you kids, did he ever get to the promised land?
No.
No. He saw it, but he never got in there. Not because something happened to him and he died beforehand, because actually he did get there to see over to it. But he made a mistake right near the end of his journey. Yeah. And God told him to speak to a rock to bring forth water. Mm-hmm. And he struck the rock, mm-hmm, and brought forth water, yeah, instead of speaking to it. Yeah. And because he disobeyed what God had told him to do, God said, you're not going to get into the promised land now. Now, if I was Moses, I have to say, I probably would have turned around at this moment in my life and said, do you know what? Screw you, children of Israel. I'm going back to Egypt and going to try and get into Pharaoh's house again. But Moses had his eyes on God. And while sometimes we may think he did all he did to get to the promised land, I want to suggest this morning that actually he didn't. He did all he did because his life was sold out to be obedient for God. Yeah. And I want to ask us all this morning, myself as well, how are we being obedient to God? How are we obeying him? Yeah. And we don't have to do that in our own strength. God has provided us with the Holy Spirit, the spirit and life of Jesus, to help us. And God takes our weakness and uses our weakness, and in our weakness makes us strong.
Amen.
Now, I want to pray for us all before we finish this morning. And I know that there's at least 25 people here this morning who need to respond, because God told me this morning when I woke up. And there's two different things that God wants us to respond to this morning. One is there's some people here who actually just need to start running the race. Now, you may call yourself a Christian. I became a Christian when I was 6. I didn't start running the race until I was 19. I thought life was just ka-ching, I'm a Christian, I'm going to heaven, I'll do whatever I feel like doing, and when this life's over, I'll get into heaven. Great. But do you know what? That is not glorifying God. God actually wants you to live a better life. And if that's you this morning, God just wants you to make that decision. Do you know what? I'm turning to you this morning, and I'm going to run to you. And we're going to pray in a minute, and you just pray that prayer with me. And then there's some people who In fact, there's a lot of people here this morning who actually, you've maybe failed in your life before. You've maybe messed up. You've maybe done stuff that's wrong. And that's been a burden on you. And God does not want that to be a burden on you and running your life. God wants you to take that spirit that Moses had where, do you know what? I don't care if I'm not getting into the promised land. You may have consequences that you're living with. God wants you to make that decision this morning. I don't care about those consequences. I am still going to continue living obedient to God. I'm still going to continue living the race that he has for me, the race of obedience. Some of you young people this morning, obedience may be quite a new journey for you in your life, that your parents are asking you to do stuff, and you're going through the age of, oh, do I want to do it? Do I not want to do it? And God wants to mark you right from this young age as obedient people so that as you grow up, you don't have to face all of the challenges that a lot of us older people have faced. You can just flow in what God has for your life. So I want us all to stand up right now. If you've had enough, as we stand up, you can walk out, that's fine. People won't notice because there's lots of moving. And maybe for some of you this morning, you have to make a physical decision. And I don't mind if you want to come down the front here and just walk down to the front and just do something to step out. Do you know, I was speaking to Pastor Jonathan Dyke a few weeks ago after he came back from an absolutely manic weekend away in Italy. And he was telling me about it. And I asked him how on earth he survived it. And he said to me, before I go, I always make a decision that I'm going. And we need to make a decision that we're going for God this morning. Yeah. If you walk out that door and you haven't made the decision, like there's 101 things that come and tell you not to make the decision. You need to make the decision now when God's speaking to you. So Father God, I thank you for the life that you call us to.
Yes, Father.
I thank you that while it may be hard, I thank you that it's worthwhile and it has eternal significance. And Father God, I just speak to all of these, over all of these people this morning that are making a decision to join that race for the first time this morning. They may have known you before, they may have prayed to you before or may not have. But Jesus, I thank you that you just help them. You give them your Holy Spirit to help guide them and direct them as they make this decision to race on the journey you've set out for them. And Father, I pray for all of us who have had challenges and struggles and things that have tripped us up, things that have caused us to fall over and mess up. And Father, I thank you that even though there may be consequences to those things, I thank you that none of those consequences are bigger than you.
Amen.
And Jesus, I thank you that you just want us to give us that fresh start this morning, that fresh encouragement. Keep running, keep going. Grab hold of my word, grab hold of obedience. Listen to your leaders, listen to your parents, listen to those around you directing you who I've put in place. And be a person who goes for obedience above anything else. Jesus, we thank you for your spirit helping us to do that. And may we be an example to all those around us of living a life that doesn't just bask in your glory, but brings you glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.